Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, who believes everything and to every word spoken. You can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom. Giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel. It is a great blessing to be able to give praises to the Most High and the little sanctuary that he has set for his people. My name is Moray Obadiah Yisrael of the House of Yisrael, located at 1907 Fine Street. And I'm standing in for the Elder Moray at the House of Yisrael, Moray Ashiah Yisrael. And this is nothing but the truth. And we're giving all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. Now, who is Yah? Well, Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the Savior and the Redeemer and our lawgiver, the Redeemer of Israel and the entire world. Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our king, and Yahweh is our lawgiver, and he alone will save us. So we give him all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel. And let me say shalom to all of our family that are listening via the internet, whether it be Facebook, Blog Talk, or YouTube. For we know that the only reason why you're tuned in is because of your fear and your love towards the Creator. And this evening, we will be having an interesting discussion, because all this week there's been some powerful revelations that was brought out by Moriah Shire this week, and the various things that are applicable to not only Israel but all throughout the annals and the courses of the world today, and understanding prophecies and being able to know time and judgment, being able to know that our salvation is not going to be contingent on nationality or your race or your political affiliation. These have been some true gems that's been taking place and that was taught. And if you have eyes that can see and ears that can perceive and understand and can hear, you will know that it's been some true jewels, some great wisdom, some great knowledge that was brought out by Yahweh's servant. And that subject has been so that it led to a meditation. And meditation that it led to, for me, was recorded in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. If you turn with me there. And in the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 7th verse. And Jeremiah 30 verse 7 reads, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Yaakov's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yahweh their Elohim and David their king, whom I will raise up." Now it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting because it says this day is great. Even though that it's a time of oppression, even though it's a time of cruelty, even though it's a time of consumption, it's still letting you know that this time is great. And why is it great? And why is it not like it? Because it is even the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's quite interesting why it's called Jacob's trouble. Because these troubles could have been called anything. They could have been called Israel's trouble. They could have been called Abraham's trouble. They could have been called Isaac's trouble. Or they could have been called troubles of captivity. But it's specifically named Jacob, and these troubles are going to be reminiscent to Jacob. Well, to understand why this is called Jacob's trouble, we first have to get an understanding on the trials of Yaakov and get an understanding on what Yaakov went through and what was his plight. What was the various plights and what was the various barriers that he had to get across? What was the various obstacles that Yaakov had to go over? Well, this has been a trouble, the very conception of this man. Even when he was in his mother's womb, it was a troublesome time. And why was it a troublesome time? Well, let's read about it. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter. And in the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 20th verse. Genesis 25 and 20 reads, "And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife, because she was barren. And Yahweh was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her." So Isaac entreated the Yahweh. He wanted a child. And Yahweh hearkened to the supplications of his servant. And his wife conceived. But within her womb, there was a struggle. There was a fight. There was something that was taking place that was causing turmoil inside of this woman's womb. And what was this turmoil? Well, let's keep reading. It says, "The children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of Yahweh." So this struggle was so deep. This struggle was so entrenched. This struggle was so troublesome that she had to inquire of Yahweh. And Yahweh hearkened to the voice of his servant. And this is what Yahweh revealed unto his servant. He says, "And Yahweh said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separate from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And this is what Yahweh revealed unto Rebekah. He let her know, you have two different nations inside of your womb and two different manner of people. This is the struggle. This is the internal struggle that you are going through. And why is this taking place? Well, because there's two different nations in your womb and there's two different manner of people. Now you'll have in the nation of Israel, people will teach that Yaakov and Esau were both black. They would teach that the same thing. It's just one is red, real light skin, and the other one was brown. But no, Yahweh said you have two different nations and two different manner of people inside your womb. This is the struggle. This is what's taking place. And Yahweh gave the judgment of this. So it was the reason why Isaac was stirred up. Because 40 is the judgment of Yahweh. And it says, the elder shall serve the younger. And this has is the beginning of the trials of Yaakov. This is the beginning of his trials. And if you read further, it speaks about when Yaakov came out of the womb. He came out of the womb. Again, a controversy. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 27th chapter. Because, expedite this story. Yaakov came out after his brother Esau, but he was grabbing a hold of his heel. So there was a struggle happening. He became outside of the womb. And this took place their very whole lives. But little did Yaakov know, little did Esau know, this was ordained by the Most High. This was meant to take place because the elder was going to serve the younger. And Yahweh already gave this judgment. It's just these two brothers didn't know. It was an instinct inside of Yaakov to know that he needed to be first, to be served. But he just didn't know the way to go about it because Yahweh didn't reveal it unto him. But this happened all throughout Yaakov's life. There was a struggle even outside of the womb between Yaakov and his brother Esau. Even to the tipping point, when it came time to put a blessing upon the children of Yitzchak, the children of Yitzchak were seeking for a blessing. And Isaac said he loved the venison that Esau got for him. So he sent them on the mission to fetch venison. And this is when judgment started to take place further. In the book of Genesis, the 27th chapter and the 34th verse. We're going to pick it up at the 34th verse. And it says, and when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. Because what had took place is Esau came into the room and he had the fur upon him like his brother. He had the smell of the wild upon him like his brother. And he even brought savory meat unto his father. But it wasn't venison. And his father ate. His father was delighted. And his father blessed him. And he gave him a great blessing. So when Esau returned with the venison, his father finally knew, like, oh, well, your brother is named the deceiver. He got your blessing. And this is when Esau is saying, when he heard the words, after he heard that his father had blessed his brother, he said, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother come with subtlety, and he have taken away thy blessing. And said, it is not to be, is it not he rightly named Yaakov? For he hath supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he have taken away my blessings. And he said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? So he said, look, my brother doth deceive me twice. First he deceived me and took away my blessing with the pottage and lentils, which I really don't know how it was deceit, because he gave away his birthright, but he said he deceived me with this. And now this, pleading with his father. He's petitioning with his father, Abba, just give me a blessing. And this is the blessing that his Abba gave him. And it says, and Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him thy master, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? And Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword shall thou live, and shall serve thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, that thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. And Esau hated Yaakov because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning of my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Yaakov. So Esau knew that Isaac's time was coming near an end. He knew that his Abba was dying. And he just wanted one blessing from his Abba. And even when his Abba blessed him, he still wasn't satisfied. Because he knew the greater substance was given to his younger brother. That's why his Abba had to let him know, look, you're going to serve. Your brother is already your master. Now we starting to read up further about the trials of Yaakov, the trials of Jacob. It started right in the household, right with his own sibling. And there was what will be referred to today as a rivalry between his older brother and himself. And isn't that what's taking place today? Isn't Esau still showing his contempt for his brother, Jacob? Isn't he still pursuing to the life of his brother, Jacob? Well, inevitably, the answer to that is Yes. These are the trials of Jacob. This is just one of his trials. And this trial was so grievous that his parents, they knew that Esau's blood waxed hot for his brother. So they said, look, get you out of this land. You got to flee from your brother. Because surely if your brother see you, he'll kill you. Because he's not writing no wolf ticket. He really will kill you. And he went off into land. He went off into a journey. And let's continue reading in Genesis, the 29th chapter. Let's read another trial that Yaakov went through. In Genesis, the 29th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 13th verse. Now, this is when Yaakov, he came into the land, and he seen the apple of his eye. He seen Rachel, his wife, and he was smitten with this woman. And he approached her father, Laban. And he said, look, we're going to have a discussion on what do I have to do to get your daughter. And this is the discussion that him and Laban had. And this is the 29th chapter and the 13th verse. It reads, and it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Yaakov, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Yaakov, because thou art my brother, should thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me what shall thy wages be. And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. And the name of the younger was Rachel, or Rachel. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Yaakov loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man abide me. And Yaakov served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed unto him but for a few days, for the love that he had for her. And Yaakov said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. But not so fast. Not so fast at all. Because he worked for Rachel 7 years. And it said that it seemed like it was only for like a few days because of the love that he had for this woman. And when the 7 years were completed, he said, give me my wife. And they had a celebration. And he went into his chambers. And the woman got into the bed. He thought it was Rachel, his wife. But no, it was Leah. And when he seen that it was Leah, he was vexed. Because he said, what happened? We had an agreement. We had a covenant. I said that I will work 7 years for your daughter. And I did so. Why then, when I wake to look upon my wife, I see Leah in the bed? And then Laban told him, in our custom, it's not in our custom that the younger daughter should get married before the elder. Now, didn't tell this man this before this took place, after the matter. But Yaakov was an honorable man. And this is not the last encounter that will take place between Yaakov and his father-in-law. You will see undoubtedly that this would not be the first time that the one's name, a supplant, whose name means supplant, would be supplanted himself. first with receiving the daughter, and then we're going to further read how he was supplanted again. In Genesis 30th chapter, if you turn with me there, I will begin reading. I'm going to read the 26th verse. In Genesis 30 and 26, it reads, "Give me," and this is when he worked 7 years for Rachel, another 7 years for Leah. So he ended up getting both. He got both. He got the wife of his desire, and he had a wife that wasn't necessarily desire at the beginning. And he continued to work for the man, and he continually kept getting supplanted. And let's read, because he starts saying, "Oh, I'm just working with someone that's supplanting me. They keep promising me things. I'm doing the work. I'm putting in the time. But every time I try to take what rightfully belongs to me, it keeps changing." So Yaakov came to this conclusion in Genesis, the third chapter and the 26th verse. He says, "Give me my wives and my children." For at this point, Yahweh had blessed Yaakov with great substance. He was greatly increased. He came in alone with just his staff. Now he got 4 wives. Now we have a slew of children. His cup is running over. And now he said, "Look, I don't want to have strife with you. Because every time I do work for you, you change my wages. You change what you promised me." So he said, "Look, we just not going to be in strife. Look, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee." And Laban knew, you know when you got yourself a good worker. You know when you got a servant of Yahweh in your midst, a blessed man in your midst, because no trouble days come upon you. No famine come upon you. And if it does come upon you, this man can plead for you. This man can pray for you. This man can petition for you and turn the dark days into light. So it was becoming too beneficial to have this man just up and leave. The man say, "Yeah, I know I changed your wages. Yeah, I know I promised my daughter. Yeah, I know I promised I'll let you go. But too much of a blessing." And let's continue reading in verse 37 of the same chapter. And it says, "And Jacob took his rod," because he said, "Look, I'm going to make a deal with you. We're going to have these goats. And all the ones that," and Yaakov said, "Look, give me all the speckled and spotted goats. Give them to me. Keep all the fat, full goats. You can keep that. Just give me the ring straight goats. I'll take that." And the band said, "Okay, I'll take that deal." But Yaakov's name means supplanter. And the supplanting that he knew how to do, he knew how to get around this. See, most men go by just the look of the look of an object. And just because it's shiny and looks fresh and brand new, you're ready to go all fours on it. Yaakov knew this because he knew what Yah had blessed him and taught him. So he said, "Look, give me all the ring straight sheep." And they agreed. And in verse 37, it reads, "And Yaakov took him rods of green poplar and of the hazel and the chestnut tree, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters in the water of his troughs, which the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring straight, speckled and spotted. A And Yaakov did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks towards the ring straight, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flock by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, Yaakov laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive amongst the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger were Jacob's. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and manservants, and camels, and asses. So this is what Yaakov did. So now, it was reversed. Now all the ring straight and weak, feeble cattle belong to Laban. And now all of a sudden, Yaakov got all this substance. And of course, this took place because his wages kept getting changed. He wasn't getting a fair shake. But also, that's what Yaakov means, supplanted. So he said, look, if I'm not going to get what you promised me, I'm going to make something happen where I'm going to take the bottom and I'm going to make it the head. Now, why are we going through this? Because this is the trials of Jacob. Now, does the characteristics that lie with our father, are they looking familiar? Are they not looking of the people today? Have our people been taught? Isn't it in our code to take the worst of the situations and make the best out of it? To take the worst of foods and make it a delicacy? To take the worst clothing and make it fashion? To take the worst water and purify it? These things happen because this is the stock from which we come from. Because these are the trials of Jacob. But when they start seeing that this man was increasing, as they see people today, when the men of the land seeing he was increasing, and that he had many manservants and maidservants, this man was just increasing. They said, look, you notice that Yaakov, he got all this cattle. He's supposed to take the raggediest looking cattle. Now he's popping out in abundance. And let's go over to Genesis, the 31st chapter. And let's start at the 24th verse. And this is when Yaakov took a flight. He said, look, I'm never going to get a fair shake. You won't give me my wives. You won't give me my children. So I'm going to see, in order for me to get what I've worked for, I'm going to have to flee. And this is what Yaakov did. And this is where we're going to pick up. And you're free to read these chapters at your leisure time. We just expediting due to this. This is a long book. This is a long story. It's a long testimony. So we just get into the meat of the matter, because we're going through the trials of Jacob. This is what we're discussing tonight. In Genesis, the 31st chapter and the 24th verse, it reads, and Elohim came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Yaakov, either good or bad. See, now Yahweh intervening. Yaakov done did all the supplanting. He done did the tricks. He done tried to negotiate, but he had to keep doing this because this is where Yahweh had him at this time. But now he's being pursued by his father-in-law. Now his father-in-law wants to lay hands on his servant. Now Yahweh's intervening. And let's continue reading. And it reads, then Laban overtook Yaakov. Now Yaakov had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Yaakov, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away unawares to me and carried away my daughters as captives, taken with the sword? Wherefore did thou flee away secretly and steal away from me? And did not tell me that I might have sent thee away with mirth, and with songs, and with tabret, and with harps. And hast thou not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters? That was now done foolishly in so doing. And this is what he's saying. He said, look, man, if you would have stayed with me, I would have let you go. And I would have let you go with celebration. There would have been tapestries, harps. There would have been all type of party place. And he knew that this wasn't going to take place. And this is why they had to come to a meeting of the minds. And in Genesis, the 31st chapter, we're going to start, we'll continue at the 43rd verse. And it reads, and Laban answered and said unto Jacob, because he thought that Jacob had even stolen idols out of his house. And this wasn't the way of Jacob. He wasn't interested in his idols. He just wanted his wages. He wanted what he worked for. He wanted what was promised to him. And let's continue reading. It says, and Laban answered and said unto Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that thou seest is mine. And what can I do this day unto these my daughters, or unto their children, which they have borne? Now, therefore, come thou, let us make a covenant, I and thou, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. See, now a covenant has to be made. Even though a covenant was made before, but now you got to have this matter established. Now, okay, if you're going to stop pursuing me, as if I'm some type of criminal, as if I'm some type of deviant, now we have to make a covenant with one another. And let's look at this covenant. It says, and Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said unto his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap. And they did eat there. And Laban called it Yagarsa Hadada. But Jacob called it Gilead, Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And this is what happened. This is what took place. They had to get stones. They had to get a creation from Yahweh to witness of a covenant that they had made with one another. So you seen a man had to end up working for 20 years for a man. And all he wanted was his wives, his children, his cattle. And the only way that he could leave with these things without being pursued is they had to make a covenant. Why? Because these are the trials of Jacob. These are the trials of Jacob. And it's a familiar thing that's going on. Because it doesn't matter whether you're talking about your brother. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about your father-in-law or whether you're talking about the nations of whom you are in the midst of. Troubles seem to follow Jacob. Even when you're trying to be upright, even when you try to be in the position where you work for your wages, you eat the food that you kill and plant. But they still have an issue with you. Does what Jacob went through with his father-in-law, is that any different from what Israel is going through today? Now, they'll tell in a heartbeat, why don't you just go back to Africa? Well, there's been many plans of an exodus out of the American Isles, and they all been sabotaged. There's been many a proposals that we just need to segregate. And our people have segregated. And they created an economy system in their own communities that was allotted to them. They created a whole banking system in the system that was allotted to them. They created houses and a life of comfort in the land that was allotted to them. And you know what happened? They were all sabotaged and destroyed. Because these are the trials of Jacob. These are the trials of Yaakov. But the trial isn't over. The trial has not ceased. There's more trials that Israel has gone through. There's more trials that Jacob has gone through. And after he fled, after this covenant was made with his father-in-law, after he departed from his father-in-law, after having his wives, after having his children, after having his cattle, now he's thinking upon his brother again. Because he know he got to pass through the land where his brother ruling. So now he has to split up his flock. And now he's going away. And let's see another trial that Jacob went through in the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. Because we see a common theme with the trials of Jacob. So now it makes more sense why it's called Yaakov's trial. In the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, and the 24th verse, it reads, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. He saw that he had prevailed not against him. He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Yaakov's thigh was out of joint. And he wrestled with him, and he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Well, his man was asleep on the pillar of stones. Man came up, and they wrestled. And they wrestled all night long. And this wasn't no wrestling like WWE. No, they was really wrestling. To the point to where this servant of Yah touched the man in the hollow of his thigh. Separated the hollow of his thigh. He was injured. But he still refused to let go of this man until he received a blessing. And he asked him, 'What is his name?' And he said, 'My name is Yaakov.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince has thou power with Elohim and with man, and has prevailed.'" See, ultimate blessing that Jacob was fighting for. He knew that blessings and curses come through Yahweh. And he knew that this being that I'm wrestling with, this is something more than just the average man. And I'm able to survive this. I can't survive this just by telling people the testimony. No, I got to have something that's eternal. Something's with me. So now you got to give me a blessing. And he blessed him. He said, "Your name is no more Yaakov, but your name is Israel. For as a prince who has power with Elohim and with man and has prevailed." And not only did angel bless this man with this name, but Yahweh came directly unto this man and gave him his blessing. He established it. He established it. The only place where I can recall where a man was blessed with the same name twice, once from a servant of Yah, and second from Yahweh himself. Now, this is some of the trials of Jacob. Look at what this man has been enduring. Look at the trials and tribulations that he had to go through. Look at how strong he was in Yah, that he wrestled for a blessing. Because he knew that this was something that he could leave for his children, for his people. And the trials of Jacob didn't just stop in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. No, even when Jacob was an old man, these trials still continued. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. And what are we discussing tonight? We are discussing the trials of Jacob. Because the trials of Jacob would undoubtedly show you why it is called Yaakov's trouble. Because there was a lot of trouble in Yaakov's life. Genesis, the 37th chapter. I'm gonna start at the 26th verse. And this is when Israel was old. He had his sons, he had his children. But he had one that was one of his favorites, Yosef. And the trials of Yosef began at 17 years old. And it's quite befitting because these trials began at 17 years old because 17 is in the order of 3. So no wonder these trials was falling upon this son. Yah gave this son a vision where he was a star and the 11 stars was paying obeisance to him. And they all laughed him out. They all laughed at him, even his Abba. Like, we going to be paying obeisance to you? Yes. Because we're going to continue to see Yaakov's trouble or the trials of Jacob. And in Genesis, the 37th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 26th verse. And it reads, "And Yehuda said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content." And who came and said, "Let's not destroy him"? His brother Yehuda, which is the fourthborn, which is the praises of Yahweh. See, the order of Yahweh is very essential. Because the order of Yahweh very well means life, death. But let's continue reading. "Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Yosef out of the pit and sold Yosef to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Yosef into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit. And behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not. And I, whither shall I go? And they took Yosef's coat and killed the kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know not whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Yosef is without doubt rent in pieces. And Israel and Yaakov rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave until my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. So even at an old age, his favorite son, he thought was rent by the beast, rent his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and said, look, I will go to my grave mourning my son. Why? Because these are the trials of Jacob. These are the many afflictions that Jacob had to endure. And why is this? Because no wonder we are the children of Israel. We are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And just like Jacob's brother tried to pursue him, we got our brother pursuing us. Just like his wages was changed 10 times, our wages have been changed 10 times. And you may say, well, Obadiah, what are you talking about? Well, didn't they tell you after you came out of slavery, you would get 40 acres and a mule? Have you received 40 acres? Have you received mule? No. That's still working you like a mule. And just like you get old, you have children, and this sibling rivalry takes place, and they took this to the extreme. Where they took their brother and bound him and put him in the cave, sold him to some Ishmaelites, took his coat, killed the kid, dipped his coat in the blood, bring it to his father, and having under the impression that his father, his son, had been consumed. Well, isn't that what they're trying to say to us today? Aren't they trying to give an impression that the children of Israel has been consumed? And that you Christians now. And that's Israel-like. That you Muslims now. And that's something similar. They've totally eradicated history. They've totally tried to eradicate your sense of existence. Why? Because the trials of Jacob is the trial of Yahweh's people today. It's just how you're going to handle the matter determines what judgment you're going to fall under. Jacob chose to humble himself and be with Yah, and Yahweh was with him. At the end of the day, with all the supplanting, with all the this, that, and the third, no matter what the world has to say about Jacob, Yahweh still say, I'm the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But it doesn't go without having trials. It doesn't go without having tribulations. It doesn't go without having troubles. And this is why it says this is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Because many were the troubles of our father, Jacob. If you turn with me to the book of Genesis, the 47th chapter. Even though Jacob went through these trials from the conception of being in his Ema's womb, coming out of the Ema's womb, fighting, struggling, going through life fighting, struggling, going through all type of trials. Well, as wisdom I have you know, better is the end of a matter than the beginning. Yeah, you came into this earth being a supplanter. You left this earth a prince who has power with Elohim and with man and has prevailed. And look at the honor that Yahweh gave to his servant at his old age. In the book of Genesis, the 47th chapter. Well, let's go to Genesis 46 chapter first. Because this is when a famine had hit the land. Yahweh gave Pharaoh a vision. He gave Pharaoh a dream. But he couldn't interpret the dream. And Yosef had to come in and interpret this dream. And he let know, you got 7 years of fat times where everything is going to be plentiful and full. But just as you got 7 fat years, you're going to have 7 lean years. You're going to have 7 years of famine. And make no mistakes about it. This famine is going to be so great. This famine is going to be so sore that you won't even remember the fat times for the lean ones. Yes, this is what Yahweh had Yosef to interpret this dream to say. And he put Yosef in Egypt. Why? Because prince who has power with Elohim and with man and has prevailed. And we're going to read why that name and why that definition is befitting. In Genesis, the 46th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the very first verse. And it reads, "And Israel took his journey with all that he had, and had came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices unto the Elohim of his father Yitzchak. And Elohim spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Yaakov, Yaakov. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am El Shaddai of thy fathers. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will make there and make thee of a great nation. Go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Yosef shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Yaakov rose from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Yaakov their father and their little ones and their wives in wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him." So Yahweh gave this elder a vision. He gave him a vision. And he said, look, don't be afraid to go down into Egypt, for I will be with you this whole time. And when they take you up, I'll be with you. So he took all his family and went down into the land of Egypt. And what happened when he got to Egypt? Well, let's go to Genesis, the 47th chapter. And in Genesis, the 47th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 7th verse. And it says, "And Yosef brought in Yaakov his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Yaakov, How old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Yosef placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Yosef nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families." Which lets you know that the 400-year captivity that was prophesied to Abraham, this wasn't speaking about when we came into Egypt. Because we just read that they got the best of the land. They got the fatness. They were satisfied with bread when it was a famine of bread all throughout the earth. Why? Because this man had power with Elohim and with man, and has prevailed. See, it's easy to look at the trials. It's easy to look at the tribulations and just feel like, man, the Most High not showing me no favor. The Most High not giving me any favor. Everywhere I go, there's always an obstacle. There's always a hurdle. There's always affliction. There's always something. There's going to always be trials and tribulations and hardship. Man, there's always something. But better is the end of the matter than the beginning. Because Yahweh knows something that most of us don't know. That the majority that we don't know. Not the majority, but that we don't know. And that's Yahweh knows the beginning from the end. And all these trials that Jacob went through, all these testimonies, and all these obstacles that Jacob went through, it was so he can be an honor in the earth. So you can be a prince who has power with Elohim and with man and will prevail. And Jacob is going through troubles today. And you're not going through these troubles. We're not going through these troubles because Yahweh just feels like picking on us. Because Yahweh just feels like beating up on us. No, we're going through these trials, tribulations for honor. Because before honor, it's humility. And we got some humiliation and some humiliating days ahead of us. They're rapidly approaching. They are here. They've been here. From the moment our forefathers came off of them ships, Jacob has been in trouble. Why? Because they had no regard for the Most High. They took away your name. They gave you the worst food. They gave you the worst shelters. And they gave you the affliction of working day and night, where they beat you. I've seen a documentary series today saying most of the slaves, the worst beating they ever got for oversleeping. You work them day and night and only give them a minimum time to rest. And if they rest over the time that you gave them, they receive beatings. But look at what Yahweh has in store today. Yahweh has said, don't deviate from this. Don't faint in this day. Don't get weak in this day. Because many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it says, Yahweh shall save them out of them all. Yes, we have afflictions. Yes, we have trials. But this is what comes with the territory of being a prince. And Yahweh will show you that you have power with Elohim and with man and shall prevail. So we can't get weak. I know it's a hard task. It's a difficult task. And it's an unknown task. Because we really don't know what these heathens have in store for us. But we know it's not nothing good. We know it's not nothing that's positive. But Yahweh is with those that are with him. But make no mistake about it. If we forsake Yah, Yahweh will forsake us. And that's what affliction will have you thinking. Man, Yahweh done forsaken us. Yahweh done brought us to here just to die. Just for our foreparents thought. But no, many are the afflictions of the righteous. These are the trials of Jacob that we are living today. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. And this is why wisdom I have you know. Because the wisdom of Yahweh lets you know and let us know that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So we think that Yahweh forsook us. So now we have to find our own plan. Now we have to look for our own way. Now we have to walk in the imaginations of our own heart. Now we have to just freestyle and wing it and find a way to be liberated. But no. My people, this can be further from the truth. And as it says in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs 16 and verse 9, it reads, a man's heart deviseth his way, but Yahweh directeth his steps. Yes, our hearts will have us thinking that we have to go many ways out of the ways of Yah, that we have to deviate many ways out of the path of Yah. But Yahweh is letting it be known through wisdom that your heart is devised many ways. But best believe I'm directing your steps. So you can either let me direct you in the path of righteousness and live, or direct you in the paths of death. Because that's our choices. There is no in between. There is no past go. It's either life or death. But Yahweh directs your steps. even if you don't see it, even if I don't see it, even if the vast majority of our people don't see it, Yahweh is directing our steps even to this very day. And make no mistakes about it, there are many trials, because there were many trials to Jacob. And this is why he's a testimony. And this is why the righteous will be a testimony. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the 24th division. In Proverbs, the 24th division, I'm going to read the 10th day, the 10th verse, excuse me. In Proverbs 24 and verse 10, it reads, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." That's right. With all that Yahakov went through, you didn't see him faint. He was handed lemons, and he made lemonade. He said, "Look, you didn't give me the wife of my desire, so I'll work for you 7 more years. You didn't give me the cattle, but I'm going to still work. Just give me the worst, and I'll work with that." Because he knew Yahweh is his Elohim. But if you faint in a day of adversity, man, your strength is small. I don't care how much you go to the gym. I don't care how many push-ups and sit-ups you do. I don't even care how much you study. All of this study is just for us to keep this role and internalize it and make it a part of us, so that in the day of adversity, we know from where it's coming from. And we know from whom to seek it, to try to get a cease from it, or to get protected from it, be blessed with the strength to endure and go through it. But if we faint in the day of adversity, they say your strength is weak. Your strength is weak. Then Yahweh command us to be strong and very courageous. So why will we faint if Yahweh is your Elohim? Why be faint-hearted if Yahweh is your Elohim? Why be afraid to go through this darkness if Yahweh is your Elohim? Why? Because troublesome times. So the time to faint is not now. It's time to get strong. It's time to gird and put on your strength. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, and the very first verse, it reads, "Awake, awake on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall be said no more, come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean." Yahweh is saying, awake, awake. Put on your strength. Take off the garments of captivity. Take off the garments of oppression. Take off the garments of fearfulness. Take off the garments of faint-heartedness and put on your strength. O Zion, put on thy beautiful garment, O Jerusalem, because this strength is a beautiful garment. It doesn't make you haughty. It makes you humble. It doesn't make you inconsiderate, it makes you consider. It doesn't make you have a lack of understanding, this is when you obtain understanding. And you'll know, just like Jacob knew, just like Abraham knew, just like Isaac knew, just like Daniel knew, just like Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah knew. If thou be with me, who can be against me? And even if Yahweh don't redeem me, must still praise Yahweh. This is what putting on your strength looks like. Because you know whatever trial Yahweh got you going through, whatever obstacle Yahweh got you going through, you know that it's purpose for it. And you know that it's for a reason. And the reason is whether you're going to keep the commandments of Yahweh or no. To see whether we're going to keep the commandments of Yahweh or no. It's a simple test that has many obstacles to it. But it's all to the test to see if we will keep the commandments of the Almighty. And if we don't, and we faint, then our strength is small. And Yahweh wouldn't tell you to put on something that's minor. Yahweh wouldn't say put on something that's minuscule. Yahweh say put on your strength. He's saying put on your strength. And this strength is a beautiful garment. We just have to put it on. Turn me, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. Proverbs 16 and verse 32. It reads, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit better than he that taketh a city." See, when you put on this strength, this is what it will cause you to do. It'll cause us to control our spirit. Because if we had no rulership over our spirit, if we don't rule our spirit, and we be hasty to be angry, we be fast to be angry, man, this is like a broken city. But if you're able to control your spirit and be slow to anger, it's better than him that taketh a city. Because why? This is the strength that Yahweh is commanding his people to put on. This is the strength that Yahweh is commanding us to put on. Because the trials and tribulations of Jacob are many. But Yahweh will deliver you out of them all. Me to the book of 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. In the book 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, and the very first verse reads, "And the spirit of Elohim came upon Azariah the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Yehuda and Benjamin. Yahweh is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." This is the strength that Yahweh is commanding his people to put on. Be with Yahweh. Yahweh. Because if you're with him, he with you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. This is what Yahweh is commissioning his people to do now. Because this is what Yahweh commissioned his servants in the past. You think that if Yaakov wasn't with Yahweh, Yahweh would have been with him and delivered him in the manner that he did? No. You think he would have got through those trials that he got through? No. Those obstacles that he got through? No. The blessings that he ended up enduring and giving and getting to be with Yahweh. And Yahweh was with him. And this is what Yahweh is commissioning his people today. Because the trials of Jacob are many. Turn me to the book of Joshua, the first chapter. And what are we discussing? What have we been discussing? Well, we have been discussing the trials of Jacob. The many trials of Jacob, our forefather, and the many trials that Jacob has to go through and endure in the nearest of futures. Now, are we going to stand strong and be a testimony with Yahweh? Or are we going to be feeble and faint-hearted and faint in the day of adversity? Well, Yahweh said that many shall be slain. So that means a good majority of the nation will faint in the day of adversity. Because the only way you will faint is something outside of Yahweh. So don't worry about what Trump is doing. Don't worry about what they are doing in the Senate and in the so-called Department of Justice and what the government's doing. Man, all these things are going to be shut down anyway. We need to put our trust, put on our strength, and put our trust in Yahweh. Because the Most High said that this is a beautiful garment. As trials and tribulation that's coming. So you can either be prepared or the best way that you can be, or you could be nonchalant about it and just say, that's just a book. Or that's just some words that that Negro up there spewing. These troubles are not going to happen. Well, all you have to do is continue living. And we're going to see. Because Yahweh said that none that wait on him will be disappointed. And Yahweh said that he is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of a man that he should repent. So once Yahweh has issued it, it's already going to work. Because Yahweh said that his words will not return unto him void. In the book of Joshua, the first chapter, and the seventh verse, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Yeah, we want prosperity. We want to be blessed. Then be strong. Be courageous. And it's not going out being able to cuss people out in the streets. It's not being able to beat up people that don't believe what you believe. It's not going out there with AK-47s and grenades and butcher knives. No, this strength that Yahweh is saying is keep the commandments. Be diligent unto every word spoken by the Most High to do it. This is the courageousness and the strength that Yahweh is calling for. And this is what the law was given for us to be strong and courageous. To know that we don't have the fate like every nation does. That we don't have to walk in the imaginations that all the other nations do. That you can serve Yahweh, keep his laws, and live. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 10th verse. Well, no, excuse me. It's not Isaiah the 42nd chapter. It's Isaiah the 43rd chapter. Because why is it important to be strong and very courageous? Because Yahweh gave us a commission. Yahweh gave us a task. Yahweh gave us a responsibility. And this responsibility is in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter and the 10th verse, where it reads, ye are my witnesses, saith Yahweh, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I am Yahweh, and besides me there is no Savior. So don't be feeble and have them telling you a man died for your sins. And now you have to serve him. Be feeble and be under the impression that the Most High has given the covenant to Ishmael. And now we have to be Muslims. Don't be feeble and faint-hearted and think that Yahweh has forsaken the earth. And now we left to the imaginations of our own heart? Are we left to the imaginations of the adversary of whom we are following after? And don't be feeble and faint-hearted and under the impression that Yahweh don't see all the things that's being done in the earth today. Because that's not the case. That's not the instance. That's not the testimony. And that's not the strength that Yahweh is commanding his people for us to gird and put on. That's not the beautiful garment that Yahweh is commanding us to put on. And that's not what Yahweh is commissioning his people to witness to. We are the witness to the world that Yahweh is Elohim. And besides him, there is none else. So it don't matter what laws they pass, what bills they try to pass, what weapon they trying to form, Yahweh said, none of it will prosper against you because I'm your Elohim. Yes, you're going to have trials. Yes, you're going to have tribulations. Yes, you're going to have afflictions. But if you're with me, I'm with you. And this is what Yahweh is trying to get us to see, even to this very day. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the second division. And in Proverbs, the second division, I'm going to read the 11th verse. Because what is going to get us through these times, these trials and tribulations that's upon us and that will be upon us in the nearest of futures? Well, it says this in Proverbs 2 and 11. It says that it reads that discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh froward things. Yes, it's going to take good sense. And to have good sense is to know that besides Yahweh, there is none else. To have good sense is to know that Yahweh is our strength. Yahweh is our comfort. Yahweh is our shield in the day of affliction. To have understanding is to know that we are not to go into the aisles of these religions. We're not to go into the aisles of these politics. That we are not to go out and try to seek salvation so we can oppress others. To know it's bigger than just saying, well, if you this color or if you that color, you will and won't make it. The whole duty of man is to fear Yahweh and to keep his commandments. But Yahweh has an order with everything that he does. And he's given it to his people. And he's given it to his people to delegate and be a witness and a light to the entire world. This is what Yahweh has for the commission servants. And the task isn't easy. The task isn't simple because these are the trials of Jacob. Turn with me to Psalms, the 121st division. Because people saying, well, what about Rex 84? What about these laws? What if the government shuts down? What if we can't get government assistance? What if they stop the payroll and all get paid from these jobs? What if they enact all these laws, this martial law? What if they do these things? What is to be done? I hear what you're saying from that podium. I hear what you're reading out of that book. But how are we to know that Yahweh is going to preserve us? Because it says to the law, to the testimony, if they speak not according to these words, it is because there is no light in them. And the light of Yahweh is leading you right back to him. That's why it says in the book of Psalms 121 and verse 7, it reads, Yahweh shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. Yahweh shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. This is what Yahweh has purposed. This is what Yahweh said that he will do. But this is only to those cleave unto him. This is only to those that will not forsake him. This is only for those that seeking his face. Because for those that seeking the face of Yah, already know that the trials are coming. The troubles are coming. And we need divine intervention. And this is what Yahweh has given us. As it's been read through this week, and as it was broke down, but I have to go to this scripture in the book of Daniel, 12th chapter. And in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, and the very first verse, it reads, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, withstanding the children of thy people." Now, who is Michael? Well, Michael is a archangel of the Most High Yah. See, these troubles that's coming, it's not going to be something that you're going to be able to shoot your way out of, that you're going to be able to punch your way out of, that you're going to be able to dig a barrel and go underground. These troubles that's approaching is going to take divine intervention to be hidden from it. And these trials are going to be troublesome. So troublesome that a prince is going to stand up on the behalf of the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that are asleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting shame and contempt. So your aspirations shouldn't be to just be wealthy, be rich, have a bunch of money, have a bunch of cars, have a bunch of jewelry, to have a whole closet full of clothes and shoes. No, your aspiration is it shouldn't be to have any women as you could possibly have, to lay with as many men as you possibly can, to have as many children as you possibly can, so you can just look and say, well, look, I got about 89. No. What any aspiration should be is to be written in this book. Because whoever is written in this book is going to be saved from these troubles that are approaching. And this is what Israel needs to hear. This is what Israel needs. This is what Israel is seeking Yahweh's face for. And this is what Israel should be seeking the Most High for. It's for divine intervention, and to know that in order to get through these times of trouble, in order to get through these tribulations, we're going to need the same thing that our forefather Jacob had, and that's Yahweh. To get through these trials, these tribulations, and these afflictions, and our enemies pursuing us, whether they be nigh unto us or far away from us, the only way to be delivered is if Yahweh is with you. That's the only way. Any other way is just unrighteous. Any other way is just unnatural. And any other way just will simply not work. For we were divinely put in this position, so it's going to take divine order to take us out of this position. And we got to recognize that the troubles of Jacob are similar to the same troubles that Jacob is having today. It's just Jacob had to understand to know that Yahweh would deliver him out of all his troubles. Now, when will the sons and daughters of Jacob recognize that today? Hopefully, prayfully, before it is too late. And it's not too late. You still have an opportunity. and the time to get it, to try to get it and get it into you and eat the roll and get increased, well, you can start tonight. Or you can join us tomorrow on the holy Shabbat day of Yahweh, our Elohim. Because better is the end of the matter than the beginning. You may have started off wicked as all get out, but you can end as a prince who has power with Elohim and with man and shall prevail. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you. So do we at the house of Israel. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Lead me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. Put fright in me and now we flee from falling leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we are his wives, to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then the knowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling it Sam. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt.